Sports Beat Extra on Beat.
I was delighted to be joined by the Irish Examiner's soccer correspondent John Fallon following Cape Verde's immaculate, I suppose, exit from the World Cup. John, firstly, when you were sitting down to watch that match last night, could you have predicted it going in the fashion it did?
No, to be honest, no. I thought it would have been a resounding victory for Argentina, just given their quality. And I thought maybe just the fatigue might have caught up with Cape Verde after coming through the group stage with three draws. But no, it was a very close game. Argentina got ahead, as we know, twice and got clawed back twice, and then ended up only winning an extra time through a very fortuitous own goal. So, a lot for Cape Verde and our own Pico Lopez to be proud about. But just the latest swashbuckling match in the round of 32 at the World Cup.
Yeah, it was a strange one, because I remember going into it, obviously they'd come off that nil-all draw with Saudi Arabia where they'd missed kind of a couple of chances. And I remember thinking to myself, and I was even saying it to people, that possibly if they hold them to a draw, they probably don't want to concede because they weren't clinical enough up front. But I don't know, the two goals yesterday seem to be taken by world-class players. Like that Sidney Lopez Cabral goal in extra time is something special, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that's a contender for the goal of the tournament, and also the moment of the tournament when you see him going into the crowd celebrating with his family. But yeah, like what a moment. And you know, like 9 minutes to go in the game and he comes up with that one. So brilliant, you know, brilliant moment. And they have certainly left a lot of lasting memories, and they've really put Cape Verde on the map in terms of being a football presence.
I know, going through this tournament, obviously with that first draw against Spain, people kind of started to take Cape Verde a little bit more seriously, I suppose, particularly in the Irish diaspora. But the kind of comparisons between them and Italia 90, I always felt a bit weird, because I feel like Cape Verde's sort of progress is arguably a lot more impressive than Ireland back in Italia 90, isn't it?
Oh, you completely so. Like they're now, I know the Italian 90 team had a lot of non-Irish born players, and it's the same here. But just the sheer population difference in itself, sort of makes it, to me, it would be apples and oranges really comparing. The only comparison really is the three draws in the group, like Ireland got at their fourth World Cup. But now I think some of those players in the Cape Verde team, you know, will get moves out of this. It's a different story for Pico Lopez in that he's 34. This was always going to be his one and only World Cup, and he's very content at Shamrock Rovers as captain after winning, you know, five of the last six league titles. And he's going into, well, his club are going into Champions League next week. I presume he'll be getting a rest for the first period of that. But no, as I said earlier, in terms of the imprint they've put on this, just considering what's it, the second or third smallest nation ever to play at the World Cup, and Spain, Uruguay, and now Argentina, you know, yeah, three really, you know, top class nations, three nations who've won the tournament in the past. And you know, the only disappointment probably was the Saudi Arabia match, because there was a bit of expectation on them. But they did well in the AFCON as well. We've got to take that into account. You know, since Pico went in there 6 years ago, he's played in a couple of those. So there was always a belief that they were structurally sound and very coherent, but they have certainly exceeded expectations on this journey through the four games.
Pico's, I suppose, inclusion as a current League of Ireland footballer in this World Cup squad, like I think back, I suppose, primarily to obviously the impact that Joseph Ndo had when he joined the League of Ireland, considering he had been a former World Cup player himself. Like, but this feels significantly different in the sense that obviously it's an established player that has been kind of born and bred up through the League of Ireland system, doesn't it?
Ah, you know, this is a unique situation in that he's, yeah, born and bred, has only ever played in Ireland. You listen to his accent and everyone around the world and know that he's Irish, you know. So, and the whole Cinderella story of him moving from being a bank official, part-time footballer, into full-time footballer at Rovers, having success that he's had, as you mentioned, the silverware, but also the strides in Europe. And then the strange way that it came about in declaring for Cape Verde, the birthplace of his father, Carlos, with the LinkedIn messages. Like, it's a tale when you stand back and take it all in. It's incredible. And I just listened to his own interview. You know, he said he hasn't really had time to reflect on this. He's just been living in the moment, going from one game to the other. But when he, you know, gets over the disappointment of last night and refreshes and gets on the flight back, I think he can. And there's probably going to be a homecoming with the sound of it as well, from what we hear this morning. He's really been the sporting story of the year, you know, in terms of Irish people.
How does, I suppose, his success translate to the League of Ireland now? Because again, I suppose going back to Joseph Ndo, I always feel like when he played in the League of Ireland, he brought a sense of gravitas and a bit more skill to the pitch, and he obviously was a very entertaining player to watch. But I don't ever feel like the league particularly progressed massively outside of the success of Sligo Rovers during his time there.
Yeah, I suppose what it does is it gives League of Ireland players belief that they can not only, you know, qualify for tournaments but hold their own. But like most of the players in the League of Ireland, they're Irish and they'll be aspiring to get into the Ireland team. Now, we've seen a bit of that recently, you know, with the friendlies at the end of the season, a couple of, you know, caps for Keane Levy and Dawson Devoy and Adam Brennan. But come sort of the Nations League in the autumn, it's hard to see them getting game time. And then after the pain of Prague, as we know, when we're over there, you know, the next World Cup's not for another 4 years. So it's an objective for players in the league to do that, and they've got every right to believe that can happen. But it's not, you're not going to have many Pico Lopez stories. It is quite a unique set of circumstances which sort of conflated into the way he declared and the way his team progressed and got to the World Cup. And he didn't go there as a peripheral player. He went there as a starter, and he's played every minute, and he's up there against Messi last night and not a bother on him. But I think what it does to League of Ireland is it projects its profile. I don't think it's necessarily going to overall improve the standard or suddenly overnight make it, you know, a force in European club football. I don't think that's the dividend from this. But he's just an inspiration to players who are operating in Ireland and not, for whatever reason, you know, not in the usual UK market that Irish players and a lot of Pico's peers would have moved over to the 19, the class of 92. A lot of those players that he was the same age group, like the John Egan and Robbie Brady, Shane Duffy, that's the route that they went. He didn't get that move when he was a teenager. He stayed around. So it's all good things come to those who wait, you know. And he's 34, and he knows he could even retire after this in terms of his international football. But, you know, I would think it's a bit like the Troy Parrott moment last November. Just enjoy it for what it is. It would be the way I would perceive this.
Yeah. I know, obviously, you mentioned he obviously having that starting role. I can't help but also feel like Joseph Anang comes into the conversation on this as well. I know the fact he hasn't played, but like the fact that he is a playing League of Ireland footballer at a World Cup, even if just in a sort of almost observational standpoint at this point, and obviously out of the competition now, like that also, I suppose, raises that profile a little bit more, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And we sort of knew for a year that, you know, he was on the periphery in terms of whether you get selected. So he sort of went from third choice to second choice, but it would have required an injury or a red card for him to get on the pitch. But Anang is a serious goalkeeper. You know, he was very highly rated at West Ham, had two spells of pats, and they'll be trying to keep hold of him. I think he's going to be in demand, just given his characteristics. But they're flying high now. They're, you know, the Challengers Hamlet Rovers have a few games in hand over them. And he'll go back in there, you know, now the fact that you mentioned Ghana are out. So, yeah, there's basically, you know, two League of Ireland representatives on the world stage, and there's a lot to be said for that.
I suppose, finally, I have to ask the question of all questions: who's going to win the World Cup, John?
Oh, it's a simplistic answer, but I don't think it's going to be a simplistic outcome. I'm going to stick with who I tipped at the start, and that's France. And, my only concern for them is have they peaked too early, because they're in blistering form. You know, you can apply any superlative you want to them, scintillating swashbuckling, but just their array of talent, particularly in the attacking third, that other teams don't have, I think is the reason why I think that they, like, they play Paraguay, I think, is next, and then looking like Morocco in the quarterfinal. Morocco will give them a good game, I feel. Just given Morocco's standing themselves. But yeah, France for me, unless it's some dodgy VAR decision or, you know, a momentary lapse by someone, which can happen in a one-off game, can happen, but so far they've just pulverized teams, and everyone wants to avoid them. And just finally, and it would be their third, you have to remember, they were in the last two finals, won one of them, unlucky to lose the last one against Argentina. So it's just a generation of players that are there. So, yeah, I think France would have won. You probably wouldn't get good odds on them at the moment, but they'd be the ones I'd be backing.
I hate to say it, a bit of commonality between France and Cork then, John, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.